Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Gracious Father, how we do love you, and yet we heartily plead for grace to love you more. Sometimes we seem to be so casual and indifferent toward you. We wonder if we truly do love you. And yet we, like Peter, when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We don't have any other place to go. We don't have anything else that we can trust other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to you in that blood righteousness, seeking to thank you, to honor you, to praise you, and asking for your blessings with us as we look into your word, endeavoring to learn what it is you would have us to know, that we might be better instructed into the things of salvation and in our duties and our responsibilities before you. We live in a distorted world. It has ever been that way since Adam threw all of the human race into depravity. It not only affected man, but it affected the whole creation. For indeed, eventually, not only this earth will pass away and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, but it says the heavens will be on fire too. So we know that this creation is marred, but we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. As long as we are in this body, living in this world, I pray that you would continue to uphold us and sustain us and finish the work . For we have your promise that you who have begun a good work in us shall perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many trials, many afflictions, diseases, heartaches of all kinds. Some people we know, many people we do not even know. And if we were to begin to try to name some, we would no doubt forget some. We do ask our God that you would have mercy. There are friends and loved ones and acquaintances that appear do not love you. We pray, our God, that you would move upon their hearts and souls and cause them to love you, to love your word, to love your house, and to be found putting you and your cause and your kingdom first in their lives in every way. We live in a nation where unrighteousness rules over us in a great degree. Pray, our God, that you would give us godly leaders, men after your own heart, who would lead us in the way of righteousness. We pray for wickedness to be cast down, that you would keep it at bay. Bless us to be able to ever lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness as long as we live upon this earth. But I pray, our God, that it is a life of godliness and honesty, not that we just pray these things in order to be delivered from the trials and the afflictions, but that we might better serve you. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Now again, as we begin come to looking into your word, we ask your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, we've been studying from John 13 with regard to the Lord's Supper, and we have given some objections and some of the answers to some of the objections. We've tried to give an overview of what all the of the religious world and the religious idea of this example that our Lord gave. And then we begin looking at the overview of the evening, and we read from Matthew and Mark about that portion of the Lord's Supper, and we said in order to do a real good, to get the whole picture of what all was going on, we would need to go back and study several chapters. That was Matthew 21 through 28, Mark chapters 11 through 16, and Luke chapters 19 through 24, and John 12, chapters 12 through 20. And you can see that by that, a large portion of the Gospels have to do with the last week, as it were, the life of Christ. And while we will look at some of that, we don't have the time to look at all of it in detail. We left off reading from Matthew and Mark last Lord's Day afternoon, and want to look in Luke chapter 22 with regard to the Lord's Supper. I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. It's kindly a lengthy reading. We'll read through verse 30 to get a fuller picture of what all is going on here. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now keep that in mind. Remember, the Passover lamb was killed on the 14th. In the afternoon of the 14th, dressed and prepared so that by 6 p.m. when the 15th came along, they would eat the Passover. That makes sense? Remember that they were to eat the Passover on the 15th. We'll look at that a little bit later in detail as we study some more about this and looking at the book of Exodus. Now, and so Luke is quite specific as to this day of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread kindly began on the 15th, technically, and yet the 14th was all of the preparations for it, I'll remind you again, the unleavened bread, the 15th, and the Passover were on the 15th. On the 16th, normally, was the Feast of First Fruits. But if the 16th happened to be a Sabbath, the Feast of First Fruits was on the 17th, which is the case when our Lord was crucified. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread went on for a whole week. So you have, and this whole Unleavened Bread, Passover, and Feast of First Fruits, sometimes that whole thing was just called Passover. And then you had Pentecost 50 days after that. And then you had the Feast of Atonement on the 10th month of the Jewish calendar, which included three other feasts. But they usually just called it the Feast of the Atonement. But anyway, just kind of give you an overview again here. So when then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished and made ready." Now notice, it appears that if we just had this, that Christ ate the Passover that night. Now the feast, now the 14th started, remember, at 6 p.m. prior to 6 p.m. for the 15th, which could indicate that this is the evening of the 14th prior to the day of the 15th. I mean, the day of the 14th. Remember, the Jewish calendar started at 6 p.m. There's a lot of questions about all of this. We're trying to make it as clear as possible in the midst of the confusion. Verse 12, "And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished there, make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." Notice he's taken the cup first here. "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So it looked like he drank, he ate, and drank. Several years ago, there was a minister, actually Brother Charles Walker, and I might have been with him, I'm not sure. I think I was, but I'm not sure. But anyway, they were having the Lord's Supper, and he served the wine before the bread, which was kind of out of ordinary custom. And he had read Luke, and that's the reason that he did that. Some of the people kindly upset them there for a little bit because it wasn't done according to custom. Verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest." Now notice, here our Lord is getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, go through all of the trial, go to the cross, and his disciples are wondering who's going to be the big shot. As if he didn't have enough to think about, as it were. But I wanted to read this to let you know that our Lord, in washing the disciples' feet, is illustrating what service is all about, and it's not being the master. And he that is master, he that would be greatest, let him be servant, as we find in other places. Verse 24 again, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Then we'll stop there. Though there's other things that took place that night. But we'll stop there. So in reading this, and without going into a lot of detailed study of the time factors as to the exact day and alignments with the feast involved, we're going to study all of that briefly as I understand it. But before I do that, I want to say that there will be people that will differ with me regarding this. And I say this because there are conflicting views regarding the death of Christ and the incidents surrounding it. There's the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday views. There are people that believe that Christ was crucified on Wednesday. There are others that say that Christ was crucified on Thursday. And the traditional Catholic view that most professing Christians accept without even thinking about it, say that he died on Friday and was raised on Sunday. Well, I find that hard to believe, and for reasons we'll see later on. But I wanted to say this so that as I give the outline of what I think took place, I don't want people out there in the audience to think that I am ignoring the other views or that I am ignorant of the other views. I just don't want to take the time to try to study it all because it will lengthen our study at least two, maybe three more sermons in trying to get all of that, and we just don't have the time to do that. I think we can attack some of that, or answer some of the questions by looking at it from the position that I'm trying to show us. And then there are questions as to when the Lord washed the disciples' feet. Did he wash them before the had the Lord's Supper or afterward? It appears from studying John 13, as we'll look at it later on, that he washed them before they had the supper. And we'll look at that as we go on. So, just wanted to give those caveats out of the way so that people wouldn't think that I was totally ignorant of all the other views. I just don't have time to do that, and I'm teaching as I understand it, and if you have questions, why, we'll try to answer them as much as we can. You see, it comes down to what's called a harmony of the Gospels. And you'll find when you study detailed studies of trying to harmonize the Gospels chronologically that some of the Gospels do not, some of the writers of the Gospels do not put things in chronological order. And so some of the things that may have happened later in ministry may appear to be in some of the Gospels at the beginning of the ministry. One in particular is when Christ cleansed the temple, when he drove the money changers out of the temple. As you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it appears Christ did that toward the end of his ministry. When you read the Gospel of John, it comes at the very beginning of his Gospel. And so it appears that John was not interested in the chronological order of things, particularly with that. And so he just puts it out there and tells about it and tells about other things because John is showing Jesus as the Son of God. Some say there were two cleansings. Since John had it at the beginning of his ministry and Matthew, Mark, and Luke has it at the end of the ministry, so then evidently there were two different times that Christ drove the money changers out of the temple. So I mention that just to say there are different schools of thought in some of these things. And so it's not all easy, and some of these things, all of us may be wrong somewhere. We may be just as confused as the Jews were on Christ's first coming sometimes as we try to harmonize these things. But I'm going to give it as I understand it, and like I said, if you have questions, why, let me know. So we've looked at the overview of the evening. We want to look at a brief overview of the setting. Now I'm going to remind you again, and we're going to show this in detail, what we've already said. It must be remembered that the Jewish day began at sundown, which was generally set to be, as we would think of it, at 6 p.m. Turn, and this is what Scripture teaches. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then we'll read the next three verses in chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, evening and the morning, and on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work which He had made. Excuse me. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So you can see that the idea of evening and morning being the day, this is the scriptural idea. And no doubt what took place for a long time, even in history. But we today are following the Roman calendar and time calculation of the day starting at midnight. And with regard to that, we must remember that the Jewish day began at sundown, and that the Scriptures ordained this, and we must bear in mind that the Synoptic Gospels, you may hear that from time to time, that's S-Y-N-O-P-T-I-C, Synoptic, it means Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because those three Gospels are more alike than John. And so, a lot of times you'll just hear people say the Synoptic Gospels, that just means Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Just easier to say one word than the three. They follow the Jewish hours. But John follows the Roman time. Now, all four Gospels speak about, particularly the Synoptic Gospels, speak about the sun being darkened while Christ was on the cross from the 6th to the 9th hour. That was from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock. You can see that in Matthew 27:45, Mark 15:33, and Luke 23:44. And I'm not going to read all three of those, but I do want to go back to Mark and read from Mark chapter 15. Because we have something else in Mark that we do not have in Matthew and Luke. Mark chapter 15. And I will begin verse 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull, and they gave him drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, that every man, whatever man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. 9 o'clock is when Christ was put on the cross. See that? If the 6th and the 9th hour were 12 to 3 o'clock, then here the 3rd hour is 9 o'clock. It's the 3rd hour of the day. The day starting at 6, 7, 8, 9. That makes sense? All right, so we're doing this to kind of get an idea of what's going on. Christ was on the cross from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock when he gave up the ghost. 6 hours he was on the cross. 3 hours there was darkness. And now we're going to look at some of this in a little detail later on, but I'll give you a sneak preview as we get to this. Notice that we're looking at our Lord the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper and he washed the disciples' feet. Him taken in the Garden of Gethsemane during that nighttime hour. Also during that nighttime hour, taken to the high priest's house, and that by 6 a.m., we'll see this in a moment, he's brought before Pilate. They violated their own law because they weren't supposed to have courts during night. But the Jews were trying to hurry this thing up because of the Passover. We'll see that. You say, well, how do you know that he was at the Pilate at 6 in the morning? Turn to John 19. I hope I'm not throwing too much at you. I'm trying to go slow, so we can kind of get an idea of what's going on. John, as we said, followed the Roman calendar. The Roman calendar instead of the Jewish calendar in marking the time, not only from here but in other places. Though some Bible commentators will say it in other places in John, they say, well, this is following the Roman time, but then when they come down here to John 19, they try to say it's the Jewish time and fit it into their Friday theories. But anyway, we don't have time. Like I said, if we tried to look at all the fine details of this, we'd be here quite a while. Now, in John 19, we see Jesus before Pilate. In fact, he was already before Pilate in chapter 18. Verse 13, John 19:13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the 6th hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. That's 6 a.m. That's 6 a.m. Notice also what day it was. The preparation of the Passover. See, Passover's not eaten yet. It's the preparation of the Passover. Here, at the break of day, it's called the preparation of the Passover. Of course, that whole night beforehand, the evening and the morning, that whole night time before this was part of the preparation of the Passover. You follow me? All right, that's good. You have to keep that in mind when you're studying Luke from what we read earlier. Not only while we're here in John 19 and while we're here in the Gospel of John, our next point is all four Gospels put Christ on the cross on the day of the preparation of the Passover. We see here John 19:14, what we've just looked at. It was the preparation of the Passover. Look at verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And then back in, while we're in John, go back to chapter 18. Verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. You say, well, what's so important about this? What is so important is that most people think that the Lord's Supper was instituted when Christ ate the Passover. But that was wrong. The Passover was after Christ's death. Christ was crucified on the preparation day before the Passover. That was to be eaten that night at 3 o'clock. Normally at that time they started killing the lambs for the Passover around 3 o'clock. Our Lord gave up the ghost around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He fit the pattern to a jot and a tittle. All right, so we've shown from the Gospel of John that he was there on the Passover. He was on the cross. They wanted to break his legs. He's on the cross on the preparation day. Luke chapter 23, we'll just go backward. Luke chapter 23. Begin at verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deeds of them. See, he was part of that, but he didn't consent to it. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Christ was on the cross on the preparation day. Mark. Mark chapter 15. I don't want to miss any of this. Mark 15. Verse 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. All right. So it was getting close to evening, but it's still on the it's the day of the preparation. And the preparation day is the day before the Sabbath. This Sabbath happened to be a high Sabbath. And according to John, it was the preparation of the Passover. Because the Jews didn't want to defile themselves. They wanted to make sure they could eat the Passover. And then Matthew 27... Matthew 27, the evening was come, verse 57. Joseph took the body, verse 59, wrapped it, put it in the sepulcher, verse 60. 61, Mary and them were there. 62, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together saying. So, all four Gospels show him to be on the cross, to have been crucified on the day of the preparation day. He was on the cross on the preparation day. That's clear. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. While you're turning there, I'll make a statement. When was our Lord raised from the grave? What day of the week? The first day of the week. First day of the week, right? All right. The disciples were walking to Emmaus. Well, let's just read first verse, Luke 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And then the angels were there and so on. And then they returned from the sepulchre. And they arise to go and tell the disciples. They met Peter and John on the way. That's verse 12. Now verse 13. Kindly skimming over that for time's sake. Trying not to be too tedious. And behold, two of them went that same day. Now I wanted to get this to prove that this is the first day of the week. It was the same day. same day that all this had happened, from verse 1 down to verse 12. Does that make sense? All right. The same day, two of them went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they walked and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here these days? And he said unto them, what things? See, Jesus knew. He was the one. See, you can ask questions sometime when you already know the answers and you're not being deceptive. You may be trying to bring something out, as he was here. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. And that's all I wanted from that, really. The first day of the week was the third day since Christ was crucified. So if the first day of the week, which is our Sunday, when he was crucified, then if he were crucified on Friday, that would be the second day since those things were done. See, Friday, Saturday's one day, Sunday's 2 days. If he was crucified on Wednesday, Thursday's one day, Friday is second day, Saturday's the third day, Sunday would be the fourth day since. Therefore, I conclude he was crucified on Thursday. Make sense? Now we will touch on this again. So Thursday, assuming I'm right, if he's crucified on Thursday and he dies around 3 o'clock on Thursday, 3 p.m., I forgot my train of thought here. On Thursday was the preparation day for Friday, the Passover. Right? What happened on Friday? Normally, Friday is the day before the seventh day Sabbath, which was Saturday. So you had two preparation days and two Sabbath days side by side. Thursday was the, I need my blackboard back up here. Thursday was the preparation day for the Passover on the 15th. The 15th was on Friday, which would make it the preparation day for Saturday, the seventh day Sabbath. So you had the Passover Sabbath and the seventh day Sabbath. You had the preparation for the Passover and the preparation for the seventh day Sabbath back to back. And so if the 16th of Nisan fell upon a Sabbath, the Feast of First Fruits was not till the 17th. Jesus spent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth and was resurrected on the day the Feast of the First Fruits was to begin. He fit the type to a jot and a tittle. He fit the type to a jot and a tittle. Just think how long the women had to wait before they could go and try to prepare the body. There's another Sabbath in between there. They couldn't just go the next day. So I hope you're getting the picture here. Crucified on Thursday, which was the preparation day. And then by that evening, around 6 o'clock or thereafter, they ate the Passover on the 15th. They had a Sabbath on the 15th. preparation for the seventh day Sabbath, and then rose on the first day of the week. Now we come back to John 13 again. Before the feast of the Passover, verse 2, and supper being ended. What supper? Questions of suppers, feasts, and when the events take place. What I mean by this last statement is, did it take place before or after the Lord's Supper? And so, notice this. He had a supper. He comes down and he washes their feet. We'll look at that in detail later. And then after he washes their feet, I'll take up at verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that ye have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. When did all that take place? Well, let's just go to Matthew 26. We could go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Look at all of them, but we don't want to extend it too much. Verse 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said, Thou hast said. And then he goes on, and as they were eating, he goes on and takes the bread and so on and so forth. And then they go out into the Mount of Olives. By the way, Luke doesn't talk about them going to the Mount of Olives, or even talks about them singing before they leave. So just by a cursory reading here, and I'm not trying to ignore a bunch of stuff, but just keep from being detailed, it appears that Judas was at the Lord's Supper, and he was tempted and went out after the Lord's Supper, and therefore, the supper being ended in John 13 would be the supper that they were eating, but not the Lord's Supper that took place afterward. In other words, they were eating a supper because it was the preparation. It's part of the feast of the preparation, and they were eating there in that upper room that night. But then when they finished eating that supper, he washes their feet, and then they go into the Lord's Supper. So it appears from John 13. Some people say, well, we don't believe that, we believe the other. I'm not going to argue with you. It just appears that to me, and so we'll leave that as it is now. This afternoon, Lord willing, we're going to do a cursory looking, some in detail, but at the seven feasts of the Jews to kind of help nail this thing down a little bit more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and as we try to understand your word, help us not to become lost in details to the point that we forget what it's all about. Details are important to you. We find that from Genesis to Revelation. So help us to try to paint the picture as best as we can, to give an overall view of what all was taking place that night as our Lord washed the disciples' feet and gave the example for us to see that it was not just a custom of the day, it was not even a custom of the feasts. It was during a time when the disciples were vying for first place, as it were. A lot being crammed in to that night. The weight that was upon the shoulders of our blessed Lord. And he takes the time to show his love for his own. May we learn patience and servitude as we endeavor to serve you in serving your saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.